This week I tried to post something on Marketplace and Kijiji, a set of old rims I had, and just to see if anyone was interested. And I noticed that there's a lot of interesting ads you can find on Kijiji and Marketplace and so on. Before the time of Facebook and Facebook Marketplace and that, there were local newspapers. I grew up in a small town in central Newfoundland, and there was a local newspaper called the Green Bay News. And in that newspaper, along with the, you know, the typical stuff you get in the community, like the Pembroke Observer, there was always, in those days, a want ad section. It was a small town. A gentleman who was fairly well known in the town, not necessarily known for his intelligence, he posted an ad in the paper, wanted to buy a motor for a red car. Now, the thing was, he just assumed that everyone knew what the red car was. I remember seeing an ad not long ago, actually. Pony for sale. Looks like a small horse. That's what I would have thought. Punctuation is important in ads. Someone posted, antique dresser for sale by lady with square legs and large drawers. My favorite was this one. I don't know if this one is true or not, so I can't attest to the validity of it. It's told of a lady whose husband passed away. His name was Bob, and she wanted to put an ad in the obituary. So she called and said, I'd like to put a notice of Bob's death. They said, okay, ma'am, what would you like to say? And she said, Bob died. And they said, yes. He said, no, that's fine. I just want people to know that Bob died. And they said, would you like to say anything else? She said, no, that's good. They said, well, ma'am, our policy is that the first five words are free, so you have three others you can use if you want. I think I may have told this here before. And she said, okay, then. Bob died. Truck for sale. Other times you see a category says willing to swap. Someone may have a boat and they'd rather have a side-by-side or a skidoo. I can remember, and this is the last example, but I remember a number of years ago, I was traveling in Newfoundland and we just had a major snowstorm. And I wasn't caught in the snowstorm, but I was caught in the snow clearing, and the highway that I was traveling on wasn't quite open. And so they said, you can turn around or you can wait. It's going to be a couple of hours. So I decided to wait. And I looked around the car. I remember reading the owner's manual. I didn't know half the stuff was in there. And that was before the days of cell phones and things. So I found a copy of a magazine, the Buy and Sell, again, the precursor to Facebook Marketplace and so on. And somebody was wanting to swap. And they said this, looking to swap engagement ring never used for a good used trike, preferably a Honda Big Red. So someone was going to try something different. One thing I've never seen in an ad, Facebook Marketplace, Kijiji, Buy and Sell, the Newfoundland Classifieds, whatever it was. One thing I've never seen is someone placing an offer to take my burdens. I've never seen someone willing to swap your burden for my help. I've never seen it. But I have seen it in this book. I've seen one of the greatest offers in this book. And the good news is that if you're carrying such a burden this morning, if you're carrying a heavy weight, the heavy load, we can describe it however we want. The good news is that such an offer exists. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, we read these words of a wonderful offer. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. So he's willing to offer something, his yoke. I will give you rest, and you take my yoke. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is an offer to help. It's really a willing to swap. It's really Jesus saying, I'm willing to give you my yoke, my burden, in exchange for yours. So would you take that chance? If you did see an offer, willing to change my burden for your burden, would you be willing to take the chance? Maybe that burden is heavier. The irony of this offer that Jesus is giving is that by giving us a burden and a yoke, he's actually lessening the burden that we have. By offering us to take his yoke, he's actually lightening the load that you and I have to carry. So as I said, would you take that risk? Would you trade your burden? Would you take the risk? Interestingly, Jesus, who throughout his teaching offers life, he offers freedom, forgiveness, joy, peace. Now he offers a burden. He offers a yoke, something for them to take. It may seem confusing at first when you hear what he's saying, unless you understand what he's really proposing here. Anyone who's studied scripture, Bible study or students, whatever, you may have heard that scripture has one interpretation but many applications. In other words, there's many things you can get. We can all maybe read the same scripture this morning and you might get something different from that person, or something might speak to you differently than me. There's many applications. There's only one interpretation, really. I had a Bible college professor by the name of Alvin Windsor. Some of you may recall that name. He pastored for a number of years at Woodvale in Ottawa. And he said something to us in class one day that made us all kind of, you know, do the not quite sure what he said thing. He said, I've heard many sermons preached wrong. He said, the only reason they weren't wrong is because they were right. What he meant was that he's heard many sermons preached that weren't the interpretation or true to the interpretation of Scripture, but there was nothing wrong with what was said, because what was said was actually true, but not true based on that portion of Scripture. And so I've heard many sermons preached wrong, he told us as students, and the only reason they weren't wrong is because they were right. Nothing wrong with them, good sermons, but not. That's not what this verse says, basically, is what he was trying to teach us. And so he taught us to draw applications from Scripture, but in doing so, make sure we interpret the Scripture true to what Jesus actually meant there, and not what we took from that brings us hope in itself. And so there's applications in this Scripture, of course. There's an obvious and a powerful application here, one that has ministered to me, as I'm sure it has ministered to you. When you're struggling under a heavy burden, you're carrying something in your heart, in your mind, in your soul that you feel like you're just barely managing, and you just don't know if you can carry it, and you sense Jesus coming to your rescue and saying, hey, let me help you with that. Let me lift that off your shoulders. Let me carry that with you. And, of course, we must be willing to give those burdens then to Jesus. Many of us are familiar with the poem Footprints. You know, well, Lord, I thought you were walking with me, and now I only see one set of footprints. And the poem says, well, that's when I was carrying you. Well, I saw one recently. Some of you may have seen it as well. Jesus is holding someone or talking to someone. He said, you see those where there's only one set of tracks? The person says, yes. Jesus says, that's where I carried you. And he says, you see that long groove in the sand? The person says, yes. Jesus says, that's where I dragged you kicking and screaming. Because sometimes we're not willing to give that burden. Sometimes Jesus carries us. Sometimes he drags us kicking and screaming because he knows what's best for us. And so there's an application here, yes. Jesus comes alongside. He says, I see you're carrying a heavy burden. Let me help you with that. Let me shoulder that load for you. And we must accept his offer. Because if we don't accept it, we just struggle under that burden ourselves. And maybe this morning that's the application for you. Maybe you've been struggling with something that has tired you out. You say, I just don't know if I can carry this anymore. Well, Jesus does want to offer to come alongside you and yoke with you. We'll talk about that in a moment. He wants to yoke with you and help you so that you're not carrying that burden alone. What are some of the burdens people carry? I could get a couple of 100 answers here this morning, because we all carry different things at different times. The burden of maybe a family member who's gone astray, mixed up, a family that's broken, aging loved ones, finances, health, work, the concern of your friends, fear and anxiety and so on. There's any number of heavy burdens, and this scripture is cherished because it offers an invitation when people read it, for Jesus helping you lift those burdens. And he does offer to shoulder those burdens with you. Reminder that we don't need to be alone in our struggles. A yoke, and some of you would be a lot more familiar with this maybe than I would, than some of your farming history and backgrounds, but a yoke is, for the younger people here, may not know what it is. A yoke is simply a wooden implement that joins or yokes two animals together, and so one animal would be in one side and the other would be in the other, and they would pull together. And so Jesus is offering to walk with us. He's inviting us to join with him, to take his yoke and share his yoke, so that he can walk with us and help us bear our burdens, and we can take courage in this, that he doesn't want us to carry it alone. My understanding is that sometimes this would be done so you would pair a stronger ox with a weaker one, and so that the two together would be able to do more than one individually, and the weaker could be helped by the stronger and so on. And that's a great application for us this morning. It's a great application for us. Jesus comes and wants to take and help us carry our burdens. He's stronger than we are, so get in the yoke with him and your burden will be lighter because he's carrying it with you. I think there's also a application here for when we are carrying the weight of an important decision. And I know at certain times in my life, that's when I felt the burden the heaviest, when I had to make a major decision. Whether it was a career decision or something that was so heavy that it felt like, oh, this is just such a weight. And you've seen people with that. You said something is on their minds. They're struggling with something. And anyone who knew me could probably see it on me as well. I've also been told, and I don't know this because I'm not a farmer, that one of the reasons farmers would yoke oxen is they take an older ox and put in one side and a younger ox and put in the other side, because in the field there were maybe rocks and the older ox would know where the rocks were, And so when they were pulling, the younger one may have been full of energy and just pull this plow and let's go, but could hit a rock. And the older, wiser ox could kind of know where the rocks were and guide the younger. So you had this pairing together of wisdom and energy. And I thought, what an application for us here in our 100th anniversary as a church. You want to see energy. You want to be here on a Wednesday night. You saw these kids this morning. Multiply that 3 or 4 times on a Wednesday night and go downstairs. You want to see energy. And God wants that. He needs that in his church. He needs younger people who are vigorous and energetic and ready to take the plow and say, let's get her done. But sometimes there are dangers. There are dangers in the path that younger people may not always see. And then so you pair that with some wisdom that has been gained over the years with some of the older people who have hit a rock or two in their life and they know where the dangers are. And the energy might not quite be the same as it was, but the wisdom. And so as a church, just picture that. The youth and its enthusiasm and its energy and its ideas and its inspiration and anointing and wanting to do things for God. And then the seasoned people from the church who will partner, not oppose them, but who will partner with them. And the younger people who don't look at the older and say, well, they're old and tired, but let's partner together. And your wisdom to warn me of the rocks, and your wisdom to tell me where I should go, and my energy of wanting to do it. What a picture of what God can do with his church when we yoke and partner together. And then, of course, with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful application. But there's only one interpretation. And the interpretation here, what this scripture is really about, goes beyond that. The applications, the analogies are encouraging, and they're true. No problem. But the accurate interpretation of this passage brings us even greater comfort and assurance. It does more for us than even the understanding that Jesus can help me when I'm stressed kind of thing. You see, there are burdens that are heavier than stress. There are burdens that are heavier than some of the things we carry. The feeling of hopelessness. The feeling of purposelessness. What's my purpose in life? What has God put me here to do? What's the meaning of life? And then there's the burden of sin. The burden of guilt. The burden of a guilty conscience. There's no greater weight than the burden and the weight of sin. The heaviness of sin that separates someone from God. The weight of a guilty conscience that is just constantly there. There's no greater burden. And then the burden of trying without success to somehow please God. I'll try to make God happy. It's a heavy burden. These are the things that are more pictured here. These are the things that wear us down. The unbearable burdens of conscience and sin and meaning of life and purpose. You see, if you want to get the context of something, if you want to get the meaning of something, I should say, you look at it in context. You know, where does this fit in the Bible? Not just grab a verse and pull it out. Sometimes that's encouraging and sometimes it's not so much so, depending on what verse you pull out. And so you look at it in its context. Where is this in Scripture? What's going on in the bigger part? What's going on in the chapter or the book or the season, whatever? And so you look back. And if you go back before these verses of Scripture, you see a season where Jesus is being rejected. He's telling people he's the Messiah. He's preaching about the kingdom of heaven, but people are rejecting him. They think he's a liar or a lunatic. They're rejecting him. They're not willing to acknowledge who he was. If you go ahead after the next number of chapters, next number of verses and so on, you see the burden of this continual inability to satisfy a system of law, especially in the next verses about the Sabbath day, the holy day. The disciples were hungry and they started to pick some grain, and they were accused, they were told off, you can't do that on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, even in the Old Testament, didn't you read where even when they were bound to these laws, don't you read where they were hungry and they ate things from the temple that were supposedly sacred? Like, that's more important. And then he healed a man. I mean, whoever thought someone would get accused and criticized for healing someone because it was on a certain day and it didn't fit into a certain time slot and so on. And so if you look behind and you look ahead, you get a picture of this impossible, burdensome system that people could never fulfill. This system of keeping the law, of doing the right thing on the right day, wearing the right clothes, and so on. All these, not only just the Ten Commandments, but these impossible laws that other people had added, supposedly, Jesus says a little later here, supposedly wise and learned people, had put on the backs of people this weight that they could never carry. It was impossible to do the right thing for at the right time for long enough to satisfy the law. And so you've got people who are tired. We're trying to please God. But I messed up. I wore the wrong thing on the wrong day. I actually healed a man, but sorry, it was the wrong time. It was just this impossible system. And Jesus comes in the middle of that, and he says, you people that are tired and weary, you that are burdened, he says, come to me. Come to me. Don't take the yoke of the law that weighs you down and binds you and buries you under this impossible burden. But he says, come to me and take my yoke, and we'll walk this together. My yoke is light. My burden is easy because I'm going to walk with you. It's an invitation to discipleship. It's an invitation to walk with the person who knows where the dangers are and knows what we need. And he's telling this to a group of people who felt like, I just can't seem to do it under this tremendous burden. And today, people are still under that burden. You talk to people that are non-church people, and they'll say, well, I don't think I could ever measure up to that. No, you cannot. None of us can. Nobody can measure up to the holiness of God except through Jesus. And what Jesus is offering here is really an invitation to swap all that effort that you've been making to do the right thing and live the right life and try to satisfy and try to do good and still feeling like you don't measure up. And to take that sin that you're carrying and thinking, there's no way I can get rid of this. And to take that guilty conscience that has weighed you down, and he's saying, hey, I'll swap with you. I'll take that from you, and in exchange, I'll give you my burden. But my burden is a joyful one. It's a light one. It's a happy burden. It's one that not only is placed upon your shoulders, but it joins you to me, and together we walk this road that God has called us to walk. The burden affects people. It still does. People carrying the weight of guilt, it affects worship sometimes. Worship should be a celebration of what Jesus has done. When we gather like we did this morning, it's a time to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. And the songs that we sang this morning and we sing each Sunday are songs to remind us of what God has done in us through Jesus. And we celebrate. And sometimes I wonder, why don't I celebrate more? Why don't they celebrate more? I've asked, you know, what is it? Is it that we haven't swapped our burdens? Is it that we're still carrying them? And instead of celebrating the joy and the relief and the freedom that comes when we've cast our care on Him, instead of coming in the freedom that comes when we've given our lives to Him and taken His yoke upon us, and just celebrate with abandon what He's done for us. You see, the old system that was burdening them down was impossible. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, we have these words where it reminds us of the impossibility of the law. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, it couldn't do it. It couldn't take your load. It couldn't help your burden. Because it was weakened by the flesh, it was tired, overwhelmed, burdened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be our sin offering. Trying to live according to the law was a yoke that was not only difficult, it was impossible. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. The best interpretation of that, it means it fits properly. You ever try to wear a pair of boots that were wrong size? Either too small or too big? What happens? You chafe your toes, your toenails, or you get a whatever. It just doesn't work. But then you get a piece of footwear that's fitted properly. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're carrying yokes that you are going to wear you out. You're carrying yokes that you just can't, you just, they chafe. They're just not working. In those days, a yoke was custom fitted by a carpenter. Interestingly, that Jesus was a carpenter. He would have understood some of this. And so the farmer would fit the yoke to the ox and to the oxen. It wasn't just one size fits all. It was fitted. Jesus says, take my yoke. My yoke is properly fitting. It fits you. It works. Jesus' invitation to swap is not to some sort of a program. It's to a person. It's to come alongside Him, not a system, not a religion, not a church. It's come and join with me. It's an invitation to a promise. More appropriately, relief. You will find, it says, you will find rest. You'll find relief. You know that relief? When you finally are able to put something down. I saw a picture of my family in the Yukon, and we're going up in a little over a week. So I have a grandson, by the way, just in case I didn't tell you. But when we were up there the last time, my son-in-law was training for a big hunting trip and up in the mountains for mountain sheep or something. And so we went on a hike, and he was training. So he had a pack on his back, 70 or 80 pounds. I didn't have one, but I had other weight distribution, so it worked. But when we finished, he put down that pack. And he's a strong guy, but he was glad to lay it down. And that's what Jesus says. Lay it down. Give it to me. I'll swap you. I remember coming home one time from vacation. It was in the winter, and I knew we had snow. And, oh, what a mess my driveway's going to be in. The plow's been there, you know, blah, 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 blah. And when I got there, my driveway was clear. My neighbor had come, and I was like, oh, what a relief. I didn't have to struggle with that anymore. I didn't have to worry about that. Jesus says, you will find relief if you'll just give it to me. The people of Jesus' day, I won't take time with this, the religious people said, do. Jesus said, done. Do this, carry this, fulfill this. Man, what a tiresome weight to try to do. And Jesus says, done. Just accept it. Religion says, do this way, this time. It's wearisome, it's stressful, it's burdensome. Jesus says, done. Religion says, accomplish. Jesus says, accomplished. Done. Religion says, achieve. Jesus says, accept. Receive. And it's an invitation to find purpose. Join with him. People need purpose. He offers us to become his apprentices, not just his students. And Jesus invites us to come to him. Matthew summed it up, and I neglected to include this scripture. But in Matthew chapter 23, in verse number 3, we read these words. Jesus says, the teachers of the law sit in Moses' seat. In other words, they're looking at the law here. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. That's a burden. He says, but don't do what they do. They don't practice what they preach. And he says this in verse number 4. They tie up heavy, burdensome loads and put them on other people's shoulders. That was the burden of the law. The lawmakers decided to put this burden on other people's shoulders, and they couldn't carry them. Thank you for the verse. But Jesus said, but they're not willing to lift themselves. They're not willing to lift a finger to move them. So that's the law. That's the weight. Give a burden, tie it up, put it on other people's shoulders, and don't offer to help. That's what they were dealing with. Then Jesus comes along, and he says, notice the difference? Come to me, those of you that are weary and burdened down. I will give you the rest you're looking for. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find relief. For my burden is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The law was putting a burden on people. Jesus said, I've come to help you and take your burden. And that's why I follow Jesus rather than my best efforts to follow things and fulfill things that I can't. The law gives a heavy load. Jesus comes to lift it. Would you swap for that? Would you trade your burdens, your sorrows, your sickness, your exhausting efforts, your guilt in exchange for becoming a follower and apprentice of Jesus? And you know the other thing that I've found since I've been serving Jesus, the benefit of the yoke? Is if I'm walking by myself and I'm trying to do things myself, even trying to follow Jesus, there's a few times that I can stumble and fall. But you know what I've discovered? If I'm yoked to Jesus, when I go to stumble, I don't fall because I'm yoked in with him. And he keeps me. He lifts me. He stabilizes me. And that's why I've decided I'm going to swap my burdens for his life and it will find rest for my soul. Would you bow with me for a moment? As I said, there's many applications here to this passage of Scripture this morning. Before we leave, I want to give you a moment to consider that offer. Maybe you came in this morning and you just, every step was hard, even physically, because of the burden you're carrying. Or you woke up early this morning and was just the heaviness from that decision or that news that you found out or whatever it is. And this morning you just need to be reminded that, hey, I'm not in this alone. I'm not in this alone. I have someone who offers to carry it with me. Then I want you to receive that this morning. I want you to feel that relief when you say, Jesus, I just take it. Just take it. But more importantly, if there's those of you here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus' offer of salvation. Your burden is a heavy one. And this morning, there's an offer on the table. And it's a good one. As your pastor and as your friend, I would encourage you to take that offer. It's a good one. It's a good one. Jesus is willing to swap and take yours in exchange for his help. Are you willing to receive it? We sang a hymn at the beginning of the service this morning. I stand amazed in the presence. And as we sang that, notice the verse, he took my sins. And I thought, yeah, that's a good start for this morning. He took my sins and my sorrows. And he'll take yours today if you will allow him. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to come together and worship, to hear what you're doing in our church and around this world, to be able to stand and worship, lift up our name, lift up your name and praise, to open your word and to hear and see an offer that you've extended to this entire world. So, Lord, I pray for those that are here in this room right now, those that are listening at home, Lord, that they would consider the offer that's on the table this morning. That burden that they've been carrying, they can find relief for it. Lord, that weight of sin and guilt can be taken in a moment when they invite you to partner with them in their lives and their future. So, Lord, should there be someone here this morning who's not done that, I pray you give them the courage to make this the morning, that they stop struggling under that load. Lord, they invite you to join with them and in partnering with you, Lord, to find that burden is lifted and in its stead find joy and hope and abundant life. In Jesus' name.